Discovery of a 30,000-year-old virus explains why colds are so hard to shake. 30,000-year-old virus. It outlives you by 29,900 and change years, is what I'm saying. Your pallbearers can catch your cold. Okay, never mind. What do you know?
Not much, you!
Live from Phoenix, Arizona to Kansas City, Missouri, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on the piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, a crowd-funded hotline, all the news that isn't, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who does not feel fully dressed without his wearable tech, it's Michael Feldman.
Wearable tech. Oh, that said terrible tech. I do have terrible tech. Anybody wearing wearable tech? That we can see, I mean? No, nothing, you know. Not that kind of tech. Nothing concealed, sort of. No? No one? Are anyone thinking about getting some wearable tech? Come on, people. It's all about wearable tech now. Should have to tell you this. Okay, never mind. Okay, let's go to the news then, and of course the weather, let's not go there, but I will tell you that they're all out of plow and salt money around here, so we're going to let nature take its course, and we're glaciating. We're just going to go back to the new Wisconsin age, the glacier. We'll get kettles, we'll get Drummonds, we'll get moraines. It'll be a beautiful thing. Be worth it to see the glacier advance on Illinois. I think that'll really flatten that baby out this time. It wasn't flat enough. There's a little hill there somewhere south of Sterling, I noticed. Okay, and all the news that isn't cutbacks at the Pentagon means an army of less than one. And Marines need maybe two good men, tops. Facebook is acquiring drones, so you better like them. Putin on the short list for the Nobel Peace Prize. That's P-I-E-C-E. A piece here, a piece there. United tells oversized passengers with oversized bags to stay in their oversized homes. They're not boarding. After all, it's not fly the fatty skies. Thanks to their extended stay in the Ukraine, the ruble crashes. It is now the rubble. True to his word, President Obama makes the Russians pay by withholding our Paralympic athletes. Putin didn't even blink. Little steely blue eyes of his didn't blink. You know, the eyes that George W. fell into? Remember that? He had beautiful eyes. That's all he said about him. He had beautiful eyes, and I just fell into them. Something like that. Pope Francis swears like a holy seafaring man. As far as I'm concerned, this Pope can do nothing wrong. I think that sealed the deal for me. That was a wonderful thing to do. And I'm sure that every priest who's dropped something during the ceremony has said much the same thing. Let's face it. It's a good thing. Girl Scouts may sever ties with Mattel over Barbie's impossible body type. So there goes the Barbie patch, girls. But in scouting, we don't use the word impossible. Come on. Oscar Mayer has a new alarm app that lets you arise to the smell of bacon. But hey, I want the smell of bacon in the morning, I raise the sheets. Well, I guess I won't share anymore if you feel that way about it. If little Oscar's there, so be it. That's all I can say. Don't start with me. Tea Party claims it got screw to me from the IRS. Screw to me. Oh, like, who has it? Come on. Hey, welcome to the United States of America, you guys. Where are you from? You know, screw to me. And Sarah Palin, long time no stupid, but it's a good one. And I think this is accurate. She said Putin invaded the Ukraine because Obama wears mom jeans. Okay. I don't want to misquote her on stuff like that. I love her, though. Her stuff writes itself. I'd say that. She's good. Those Carhartts, though. Wearing those all the time. That's kind of butch. Talking about people wear constant Carhartts. Thank you. Contingencies for rising sea levels. You know, sea levels are rising, and there are contingencies now for rising sea levels and major monuments, including water wings for the Statue of Liberty, a giant condom for Big Ben, and a long antenna with a tennis ball on top for the Eiffel Tower. So those plans are being made for those monuments. Putin now says he's been asked for a little help over there from some Russians in Brighton Beach, New York. So that's the latest plea from Russians for help for him. If Radio Shack goes under, I have nowhere to go for the thing I need. You know, that thing.
That little thing. Yeah,
that you can't find any other place when I get around to it thing. So RCA plug or a sauropod tooth, something like that, you know. You can only get it there. After the timely missile launch, they're now calling him Kim Jong Putin. Still, it's better than rootin' tootin'. The minimum wage increase expected by 1959. Hopefully, it'll be in $59. That wouldn't be so bad, actually. John Travolta just turned 60. So get off his case. You know? He even messes up his own name at this point. Like he's supposed to know some woman who sings in cartoons, right? This is what they gave at the Oscars. Well, what a thrill for him. Introduce a woman who sings in a cartoon. Travolta may not know what her name is, but he knows what they call a quarter pounder with cheese in France. Oh, boy. Just me and you, John.
I know.
Okay. All right. Russell Wilson won't dance. Don't ask him. He's not going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Russell is well aware of the effect Dancing with the Stars had on the career of Donald Driver. Oh, yeah. Yeah, where is he now is the question. Say, I can't remember where I stashed my $10 million in old gold coins. Anybody run into those? Yes, I put them in some cans and suck them somewhere. A man is suing a casino in Vegas for having lost $500,000 at cards while being blackout drunk. But what a great poker face. Still lost. I can't figure that out at all. The Crimea will secede from the Ukraine and join the Federation with the North Colorado. So that's a new thing going on there. Should work out fine. North Colorado. Colorado. Sir, are you? Did you relate to that? No, not going to happen? Okay. Which one, Crimea or North Colorado?
Both.
Yeah, okay. A guy on the street tried to sell me a picture of Justin Bieber peeing in a cup. This is a personal note. Ridiculous. $100 for that? Come on. They're taking the essay off the SAT. Now I'll never get into law school. The essay was my only hope. You know, math skills weren't going to do it. I remember taking my LSAT for law school many years ago when I still thought I might have an escape hatch somewhere from this. And there were equations on there. I remember seeing quadratics or something like that. You know, under a lot of pressure, you can't recall everything you learned in eighth grade. And the old ones say that one day we shall reach a temperature where water is liquid. And that's all the news that is. And thank you so much for your indulgence, if that's what it was. If it wasn't, thank you anyway. And a reminder, at daylight saving time, it's singular. And Lyle gets very upset if you say savings. So don't Lyle Anderson here. It's daylight saving, just one saving, apparently. I don't know why. Savings is like a savings plan or something. Well, anyhow, daylight saving time begins Saturday night at bar time. So you have to give back the last drink is what happens, because actually you lose an hour of drinking, don't you? You spring forward. It's already...
It's better in the fall.
It's 2 a.m.
Then it's 1. in the fall, but now it's three.
Yeah, you catch a break in the fall, but they take it back in the spring. You got to give the drink back, and I don't know how you're going to do that, so think about it. All right. I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's go somewhere for a beer. Let's get out of here and do some, you know. We're going to have to sit here. This is Wisconsin, and it's almost noon. What do I got here? Oh, yes, crowdsourcing is happening now. And I thought, what, if you're getting, are any of you crowdfunded, funded by a crowd? If you can find the right crowd to fund you, you can make a tremendous living, is what I understand. You got to have something that you want to sell or do or promote or an idea that you have. Come on now, who's here has got a crowdfundable idea? An idea that would just take money to be a really expensive, bad idea. Nobody here? Crowdfund? Crowdsourced? Come on. Somebody's been crowdsourced. Young people, are you crowdsourced yet? No? What are you kickstarting? You got something going? Nothing? Okay, well, this is going to be a bomb. Because I thought, yes.
Tree houses for the elderly. Just put them up in the trees.
What a fabulous idea. That's going to, tree houses for the elderly. And in quotes, I'm going to put this in quotes, just put them up in the trees. Put them up. In the tree. We're going to leave that part out because I don't want to get into litigation here about your mother and she hears that. And put it up in the trees. Okay. Tree houses for the elderly. Okay. So that's what we're talking about here now. Like, even bad ideas. No idea is bad unless, you know, your money is involved in it, and then it's really a bad idea. So, but no idea is bad. So what we're going to try to do here is do a little crowdfunding advice for people who are calling in right now with their ideas that need only crowdfunding to get somewhere. You know, this is a totally new approach. Everyone's doing it now. Not everyone. So, yes, we're going to do the Not Much Starter. This is Not Much Starter. And we're not actually going to put up our own money, because the heck with that. But we're going to let people who call in with their ideas that need crowdfunding, crowdsourcing, need that, and we're going to let them know how we feel about it. And after all, we are public radio listeners, and we've been hit up for funds endlessly. So we can tell a good pitch from a bad one, number one. And also you're a very desirable demographic because you have expendable income, the older ones of you, younger ones not so much. And so you are the type of, we could put the touch on you, is what I'm saying. We've done it all these years in public radio. But now we want to hear from people out there who have ideas that are crowdfundable. You're with me on this, aren't
totally.
You?
Totally. I think it's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
Yeah, they say people have a $1 million idea every day. Each of us has a $1 million potential.
$1 million idea a day?
Yeah, that's what somebody told that to me. I don't know if it's
God,
true or not.
I'm going to stay up late until I get one.
Yeah, but then you have to execute.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, the idea is the important thing. So we want to get some, what number would they call if they have a crowdfunding idea? And then we're going to let them know exactly our reactions to that, because you are the crowd. See how that works?
Oh, yeah.
Put the crowd back in crowdfunding.
So the number, if people want to call in with their brilliant ideas, is 1-800-942-5669. That's 1-800-HWA-NO or 1-800-WHACK-NOW.
Right, and we'll look these over, and this is an ideal market really to get advice from which ideas are going to fly, and it could be in any area. Some people have apps. They worked on an app. And you have an app here that you're sitting on? Are you sitting on your app? Okay. Feel free to get up if you have to. Just and some people movies now.
Mm-hmm.
We had Matt Walsh on last week. He's directing another movie, producing it, but it's a crowdfunded movie. There you go. Okay. That's what I'm saying. Yes, ideas. They could be anything. Some people are making books. Some people are making calendars, pottery. Wearable technology, maybe the next Google Glass.
Solar ovens.
Huh?
Solar ovens. Oh, never mind. Go ahead.
Is that your idea? I'm going to put that down. Solar ovens.
Yeah, solar
would these
ovens.
Be on the sun or on?
Yeah, that's right. Ovens for
sun.
Somebody's got to go up there and get the bread when it's done.
Solar ovens on Earth. Okay, I'll put that down here so there's no confusion. So far we got tree houses for the elderly and solar ovens. Okay, so even before we begin, we got head start on this whole thing, on this kickstarting thing. Dana's on the line there from Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Dana.
Hey, hi. How you doing?
Good. Have you got something that you, that deserves?
I do, actually. A couple ideas.
Okay.
First, I think Sarah Ann's idea of the solar ovens is brilliant.
Brilliant.
What I was thinking of is community spay-neuter clinics for cats and dogs, crowdfunding them.
Crowdfunding spay-neuter clinics. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cats and dogs.
Cats and dogs, what? Do you do something?
Ferrets and whatever else you got, rabbits.
Ferrets? You know. Would you limit it to certain species and not others?
No, just
elderly,
you know,
cats and dogs?
Oh, elderly cats and dogs. If they're really elderly and still need to be neutered, then they need to be neutered. Yes.
So how much do you need for these clinics?
Oh, I figure for Columbus, we could easily use $750,000 just to handle the
all right. I can tell you how that plays to the crowd in crowdfunding. Spay-neuter clinics in Columbus, Ohio. All right. Now applaud if you're willing to put up your money for it. Okay, the treehouse, the woman for the elderly likes the idea. Okay.
Oh, about the treehouse.
Maybe it's the pitch.
For the elderly. It
yes.
gives new meaning to the expression, I've fallen and I can't get up.
Oh, yeah, and the nut don't fall too far from the tree, either. Hi, Gretchen, in Salem, Virginia.
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good. Are you into this crowdfunding sourcing thing?
Yeah, I'd really like to take really good care of old people in their last days.
Old people in their last days. And
yeah,
how would you do this?
Well, I would improve the current system.
Okay.
So, unfortunately, I'm guessing the nursing home.
I'm guessing the treehouse idea does not appeal to you.
Well, I'll tell you, I want older people to have choice. So if they want to sit out in the sun for 10 minutes when it's 40 degrees all bundled up, and that's what they said when they came in, we'll do it for them. And if they want to listen to classical music, then we'll do that for them.
That's good.
And we'll know what programs they like. If they can't talk, but they can, you know, we have to feed them, then we'll, you know, just because they can't talk doesn't mean they're not there.
Yeah,
so
no
I would
point.
Really like to have excellent care for, you know, intelligent, cultured older people who want choice and they want to be treated and made well from little simple things. Pneumonia is no one's best friend.
No.
And we shouldn't stop a person from that regular medications when they're ill.
Right.
We shouldn't stop their regular medications.
No.
We should treat simple things, urine infections, bronchitis, skin infections. We should prevent that.
I agree with
you. And we should continue physical therapy because
definitely.
Exercise is the fountain of youth.
It is. If there is a fountain of youth, it would be exercise. Thank
right.
you, Gretchen.
So what up?
Yep. Will we fund that? Yes,
what?
We would fund that. Very good. Tel Aviv, Israel. Hey, Michael. How are you?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
I'm pretty good. How's life in Tel Aviv?
Well, it's life.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Are you there right
really
now?
Interesting.
Are you there right now?
I am there right now.
Well, when you look out your window.
In my apartment, if I look out my window.
What do you see?
My backyard.
Okay. Look out the other window once. So tell me what you see. I want to make
sure.
The
window of the house across the alley from me.
You're not in Tel Aviv. That's like here.
we're just regular people, Michael. If you cut us, do we not bleed?
Very good. Very good. Michael, so do you have a crowdfunding idea there in Tel Aviv that you want to try before the crowd here?
I do. I figured I would like to leverage my residence here.
Mm-hmm.
People think that this place is much closer to God than other places.
Okay.
So,
not Tel Aviv so much.
Well, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
It's closer to certain gods here, but the Holy Land in general. And for a very small consideration, I would be willing to go to the house of worship of the faith of any of the person's choice and say a prayer for them.
Oh, so you'll be like a
prayer proxy.
A prayer hoe, I was going to say. That's not.
That's a bad way of putting it. Proxy is a much better, prayer proxy.
Yeah, proxy works. And I'm an atheist, so everybody can feel confident that there would be absolutely no favoritism involved.
That's a pretty dumb idea, Michael. I don't know. Can you really pray for someone? I mean, you could pray for someone else, but in lieu of someone else, it's kind of, I don't know. You think that's even...
I don't see why not.
Okay.
This is a vast untapped market, really.
Yeah. Well, and you're in the right place, except you got to get out of Tel Aviv. Nothing going on there, really. But you would pray for someone of any faith in the holy city itself. Go right there and put a note in the wall or whatever. Or whatever Presbyterians do in the whole city.
Put a note in the wall. Go to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre and watch
all of it.
Watch some of the priests get in fist fights, which I have seen.
The priests are fighting down there?
Yes, they were arguing about a point of dogma, and one of them thought a knuckle sandwich was the best way to carry the day.
Ah, some things never change. They've been doing that for thousands of years, fighting over that dogma. Okay, so that's it. And how much would you charge for this service?
Well, let's say...
Not in shekels now, don't you?
In shekels?
Not in shekels.
Not in shekels. Okay, so let's say 50 bucks for a one-time thing,
or,
for, say, $250 a week for a yearly subscription, I would, go there every day for you.
Okay. And do you have a name for this service?
It's called my retirement fund.
What do you think about funding Michael's retirement fund in Tel Aviv? I'd say there's mild interest. And now, how many of you would be willing to put up your own money now? Applaud for those who put money into Michael's retirement fund prayer service. We got one person here who...
Somebody who really, really needs prayer. Yeah. And, I think it's good that people recognize that.
Yeah, and of course you want an atheist doing that for you. Push comes to shove. Thanks, Michael. Some interest, I would say.
Oh, you're ever so welcome, Michael. I've enjoyed your show for probably 25 years.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Talk to you later.
Bye.
Bill's online from Lancaster, depending upon where you are. Hey, Bill.
Lancaster.
Yeah.
Hi. How about, those pick-your-own-strawberry operations and pick-your-own pumpkin operations? Well, how about a milk-your-own-cow operation?
Ooh, what a good idea. That's a win-win.
And we could expand. We could do the spay-neuter-your-own-cat or dog operation as well.
Let's stick with the cows for a second here because we don't want to overlap some of this funding. Could get confusing. So milk-your-own-cow. So people who've always wanted to milk a cow or live on a farm or something but live in the city could go out there and milk their own cow, and then the farmers would have the milk. The cows are all milked for them.
Well, you milk your gallon and you take it back with you to the city, or, for an extra fee, we could bring the cow to you and you can milk it in your front yard.
Do you have such a farm, Bill?
Well, unfortunately, I'm in chickens, but I'd be willing to do it if they crowdsource it.
Could you milk your own chicken? I don't suppose that would be that easy.
I keep looking for the udder, and I'm not successful.
What could you do with chickens? You could wring your own chicken's neck or something, but that's not for everybody.
No, that's the full experience there.
And if you want the full farm experience, grab this bird by the head and spin it. Okay, Bill. Now... this is something that you could set up, though, this service, and you want this. What would you need the money for in this case?
Well, the cow needs feed.
the cow needs feed. Okay. All right. You'd have to rent the cows since you don't have cows?
Oh, if it worked out, I'd buy a 40-head herd.
You would. That's pretty expensive, though. That's pricey, isn't it?
It all depends.
Well, what are you going to do, steal them or something? Are you going to rustle them up? Or a rustler there in Lancaster? What's going on?
Well, you can get different qualities of cattle. You can buy registered Holsteins for thousands and thousands of dollars, or you can buy whatever you want to get.
Well, I know you can. I just say, okay, so milk your own cows. Well, there's quite a bit of interest in that. I'm surprised. Now, committing your own funds to milk your own cows. Surprisingly, this is a surprisingly attractive idea, Bill.
Now, how about the spay-neuter thing?
Well, let's stay away from that. you know, neuter your own cat or something. I don't know. This, to me, is not appealing. Okay, Bill, you got some interest in this. This is something you should look into further. Make a better pitch, maybe, for it, you know, than just, you know, some of the things there. But make it a little more, a little sexier.
All right, thanks.
All right, thanks, Bill. A few more here. Sorry, it's okay. I got that. Kathleen's on the line from Memphis. Hey, Kathleen, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you, Michael?
I'm fine. We're looking for some crowdfunding ideas here. Do you have one?
Yes. Oh, I've been doing this, and my next step is going to crowdfunding, and my idea is much better than the nude and spader. I'm currently designing doggy bandanas, and it crosses over into cats.
Of course.
And I raise funds in the sales to support local rescues and shelters, animal shelters.
Okay.
And I'm looking to expand. I've been doing it all myself, and I need to hire sewers. And I want to bring manufacturing back into this country,
okay,
especially locally around Memphis.
Right.
And I need crowdfunding to expand so I can sell more, mm-hmm, and more donations are made to the local animal rescues.
Okay, so the fun, then when you sell a doggy bandana, that goes to support doggy services.
Yes.
In other words. So.
And my background is in fashion design, oh, and I started this a couple years ago, and I do have a website,
oh,
and I just want to expand my manufacturing so I can sell more. And if I do crowdfunding, I'm going to give back to the people that donate to help me expand this business to support the animals,
yeah,
that need homes, forever homes. And that also is inclusive of paying for spade and neutering, because these rescue, yeah, groups do that.
Of course.
And
keeps coming back to that.
Yeah.
Can't get away from spaying and neutering, it seems to me.
Right. And then when people donate,
yeah,
in the crowdfunding format,
right,
then I will give them gifts. As in, if they have their own animals or they have people that they know that have animals, then I will give them like a subscription,
uh-huh,
to seasonal prints. I do holiday prints of doggy bandanas and cat,
yes,
bandanas.
Naturally.
A lot of people buy them for their cats, too.
It's a seasonal business. There's no doubt about it.
Well, I got holidays all throughout the year.
Right. There are holidays all throughout the year. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Every,
yeah,
season really has its own holiday, and you can tie that to a doggy bandana.
Right.
And, you know, this would work well for the older people that we were talking about, too, if we had old people bandanas, like these gentlemen here are wearing.
Well,
maybe like headscarves or something like that, that we
you
could
think
sell
that's
with
funny,
them.
But it's,
no, I'm
but
not.
I sold some to some women that were cooking at an Italian festival.
Exactly.
And I do embroidery of Italian flags, Irish flags.
Perfect.
I do collegiate. I mean, it's very popular around here.
I'm getting excited about it. I am actually getting excited about this. It's so useful in so many fields. And then what do you call your service? Then you got to have a good name for it if we're going to get...
I named it after my late dog, Stella.
Stella.
So it's called Stella Ware.
Stella Ware.
W-A-R-E.
Okay.
As in hardware. Yes.
What do you think, Stella Ware, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, I thought it would get even an ovation.
Yeah, it should get an ovation.
Yes.
Can I get a prayer sewn into that?
Can you get a what? A prayer.
Sewn into the bandana.
Sewn into the bandana, which you could then have put in the wailing wall for you by an earlier client of ours.
There you go.
Thanks, Kathleen. And I think it's a hit. You got something there. And what's your site? We'll go tell people your site so you can actually go and check it out.
The site is Stellaware.com.
Stellaware.com. Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you.
Good one. Let's do it. We have time for one more here. I'm sure we do. Tom's in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he's got an idea, don't you, Tom?
Sure thing.
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, we've had ice storms down here in Arkansas lately,
yeah,
that knock out a lot of power lines.
Right.
And so I was looking into different ideas for how to get power without being connected to the grid.
Okay.
And stumbled across these wonderful ideas called Earth ships.
Earth ships?
They called it Earth ship. It's where you semi-bury the house, where it's got south-facing windows. And the sunlight comes in and heats it during the winter, and during the summer, the sun straight above so it doesn't come inside.
Oh, okay.
And then you put the solar panels on. I think it's a great idea. The problem is most of these Earth ships mm-hmm. are, like, collecting their own rainwater and using their own sewages.
Yeah,
and so that doesn't exactly go up to code. And so I need somebody to help me put these things up to code and make a subdivision.
Earth ships. I think Earth ships work. I think burying your house is doesn't work.
Yeah, that would probably be a little bit more...
I'm saying I like the Earth ships. I like the sound of it. And and then burying your house. So would you do this as a service then? You would actually bury houses for people and face them in the right direction?
Well, I'm thinking more along the lines of setting up a... Well, sort of like you would build a home subdivision where you build the first home and you show people what the homes would look like, and then they come in and... So I would be looking for crowdsourcing to get somebody to help me fund putting this together.
Yeah, do you bury them before you show them, or you bury them after they buy them?
Well, it would be just this semi-buried thing. So it kind of has to be half-buried before it would be completed.
It's like something that they would have done on the prairies when the settlers, didn't they dig those sod houses, or they dug into it and they covered them with sod? That sort of thing?
Yeah. Well, something like that. But the problem with sod houses is there was no barrier between the dirt and the inside.
Yeah.
And so any kind of critter that was crawling around the dirt might end up in the house. Might be a little bit unsettling.
Yeah. Or a critter in the house might get out.
There you go.
There's the other thing.
So then they've got plastering and things like that they do now that makes it a much more hospitable environment.
Earth ships. Crowdfund it or don't. Mixed response. In it. How many would put up your money into the Earth ship concept? Can we get the names of these people who actually? You're involved in several different things so far. You know, we're talking retirement money here now. You don't want to just scatter it to the wind. You know. Okay. Thanks, Tom. We'll do one more because Kathy's been on the line from Ashland for quite a long time, and I don't want to miss out any great ideas. Hi, Kathy. How are you?
I'm great today.
You are? Yesterday not so good?
Well, no, we still have snow.
Oh, still snow. Is it melting, though? Are you getting a little thaw there now in Ashland, Ohio?
Yeah, we're starting to see mud, which is good.
Oh, I love the mud of spring.
That's right.
Sky above, the mud below. That's me. And so, Kathy, have you got an idea that you think could be crowdsourced? And
I do. Yeah. I have actually a list of them, but I think the one is already starting to be invented, but so I'll go with my next one.
Well, what's the one that's already invented?
Well, I wanted transition contacts for my eyes.
Transition?
Yeah, where the sunglasses, for the sun, like you make glasses.
Oh, yeah. And they turn yellow or orange or something like that for special occasions?
Yeah, well, I have a lot of mulling in the summer, so.
Okay.
And I always get, and I am aging, so I'm starting to get the squinty lines.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that one's somebody's brewing on that
okay,
one. My
so
other one, though.
Number two?
Yeah. Number two is for picnics.
Picnics.
Because you always like to take something in a crock pot.
Yeah.
But you always do macaroni salads and pasta salads, and they always get warm in the sun.
Right.
So my idea is to have a picnic chiller, in which it would cool and keep your salads cold.
How about a cooler?
Well, I know that.
Or has that been invented yet?
That's the hillbilly version.
Hillbilly, I resent that.
Oh, well.
I got a cooler with wheels, Kathy.
This would be.
It'll go anywhere.
This would be a plug-in, like, reverse of a crock pot, where it would keep your pasta salad cold.
Okay. What's number three idea?
Well, the other one was keeping Lunchables warm.
Lunchables warm.
Yeah, to heat up those Lunchables.
So you're trying to keep one thing cold, one thing warm. You're going to have a conflict in your concepts here.
But I have happy stomachs.
Okay.
Well.
Anyone like what they're hearing? Okay, thanks, Kathy. Keep thinking about it, though. It's good that you're thinking about them.
I will. I'll keep my brain going.
Yeah, mine too. Okay, thank you very much for those ideas, and I'm not sure we got anywhere with it, but at least no one was hurt in the making of this show. Okay. John, you must have a few ideas for things that should have been invented.
Every day I have a million-dollar idea.
I thought of one, actually, a manned drone. Next big step. Like why should the drone have all the fun?
Like a jetpack kind of thing?
No, you could hang from it, like a little seat or something.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be done aerodynamically, so you wouldn't look like a guy hanging from a, you know, seat under a drone. And then and then someone could simply program you to go wherever you want. You had to go to work, or go you know anywhere. And someone, I don't think my wife should do it.
No.
You know.
Right into the side of the building.
Yeah. Oops. But a manned drone, I think it would be not
yeah,
a bad
that's
idea.
That's a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah. You got anything?
No.
Jeff,
but,
I know you
yet.
Must have some.
Maybe later
some.
Today.
Jeff's got some.
I've got something.
Yeah.
I was thinking
yeah.
a solar-powered treehouse with solar-powered ovens that house the elderly who wear transition contact lenses. And on one day a week, we bring them neutered or spayed animals that wear bandanas. And if it's a cloudy day and there's no sun and yeah. a solar-powered oven
yeah.
and treehouse isn't working,
yeah.
we can contact an atheist in Tel Aviv. Pray for sunlight.
Perfect. Thank you for that, Jeff. Sometimes I think I don't appreciate you enough.
Well, then other time.
Okay. What are you whispering to John now? That was very good, Beth. Yes, what?
Nothing.
Nice to see you paying attention, Jeff. Sometimes I think you're just standing there with your eyes closed, leaning on that thing.
He is.
Yeah. Okay. Are you feeling any better? No? Still worse? Good.
About the same.
A little bit about the same? Yeah. Are you trying the hat on the bedpost method?
No. It's the sleeping in the bed method.
Sleeping in the bed? Yeah. Are you taking any...
Over-the-counter medications, yeah.
Over the what?
Counter.
Over-the-counter. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Supposed to under the counter? I don't know.
I don't know what counter you're talking about. Even. Okay, so this little song here then is a...
Yeah, it's called. This is one of my tunes, and it's called One for Sonny.
Okay, sounds good. John Dillon, Jeff Hammond on the bass. One for Sonny.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Once again, it's Michael Feldman.
It's otherwise I have to walk, you know, up and down, up and down, up and down. I don't know what it is about this audience or what it is about me, but look at these guys. Grant, Madison, what do you do the rest of the week? Even a dentist works 3.5 days a week. How does a guy who only works 2 hours a week make a living? John. Well, what other type of work have you done? Do you actually get paid for doing this? If you believe in multiple universes, how would the other Michael Feldman be different? Are you as retro as your in your thoughts as your set is?
Jeez. That's like a whole year's of a year of.
Is your personality reflected in the way you eat a meal? I don't know if that means in general, I mean, but what is it with you people? Let's start with Grant here. What do you do the rest of the week? Where is Grant? From Madison. Huh? Grant? Okay. Are you a dentist? Okay. Minister? Minister works 1 day a week. So you could say I have a spiritual calling. If you're going to lie about it, there's a lie big. Important thing, Grant. Stand up here, Grant. First of all, what is your interest in this subject?
Well, I could use a new job, so I'm kind of exploring yours.
Oh, I see. You want this job?
Or something like it.
Nothing like it. You know, it's either this or nothing at all.
I'd like to make one up like that, though. Yeah.
What field are you in?
Oh, gee, I don't know. Computers.
You gotta have a field. Everyone has a field.
I'm a Unix, and system administrator.
Unix and Linux?
Close enough.
There's lunatics and Unix.
Correct.
And there's Unix. Is Unix? Unix is a programming system?
Something like that. It's an OS.
That's a big price to pay for a job, I'll tell you. I'm working for Unix, so I could tell. What?
It goes with the neutering.
Are they still using Unix?
For Unix? I don't think so. I hope not.
Well, what do you program in then?
I don't actually program usually. Not too much.
Well, what are you supposed to be doing? Let me put it that way.
I mainly just kind of stare at a screen and manage email and ignore it.
Okay, so you're not really working. You're just going through your email.
Well, that's mainly what you have to do, yeah.
And you're looking for a field of what?
I don't really care, just a paycheck. Okay.
Well, yeah, you qualify for this job, then.
Be good.
I'll keep you in mind if I ever want to, you know. What? We just got the grant. There's John from Marengo, Illinois. There's Jan from Birchwood, Wisconsin. Hi. Hi, John. How are you? There's Steve from Greenville, Wisconsin. There's Terry, also from Greenville, Wisconsin, who also are worried about what I do the rest of the week. There's Dick Huebner is here from Greenville, Wisconsin. A lot of the Greenville, Wisconsin cards, and they all wonder what I do for a living. However, we can answer that as the show goes on. You'll see that there's no answer to it. We'll just continue along these lines. But first, before we can play the What Do You Know quiz, we have to know who can and cannot participate in said quiz. That's the four disclaimers. Come on, dear. This is your big moment here. You want to read it out loud, or you want to just read it to yourself in front of people? Hi, you are?
My name is Joe Seaman.
Hey, Joe. You from around here?
Michigan. It's okay. It has to work.
It'll work.
Okay, there are four disclaimers. Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own show. Do I have to read number two?
You gotta read.
Okay. Here you go. I know you're all there. Always end up wearing the same thing on Ash Wednesday that you wore on Fat Tuesday.
The mic was over here.
Oh, that you wore on Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
So that would be like the punch keys? You wore them on your face or something? Or?
Oh.
No.
No. I don't.
That's a Michigan thing, I guess. Number three. Persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone trying tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. And number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Lackey, okay. Okay. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
I was just agreeing with you. Lackey, nice job. Well done. You have a future. And disclaimer reading. You could read disclaimers for all those drugs that are worse than what they're trying to cure. You know, a list of 400 possible fatal consequences for taking that drug. That could be you doing that. You're that good. Let's see the hands of those of you who want to try them at the What Do You Know quiz. A fabulous chance to win just for being who you... What? It's important to you?
Yeah, really.
Is it too important to you?
It might be, but I'm...
Can you walk that line where it's not too important to you? Okay, come on, let's see how important it is to her. Yeah, is that right with you? You have to pass it in front of him? Well, come on over here just a second. He should get easily embarrassed. Come on. How are you?
Good, thanks. Yeah. How are you?
Good. Now, it's your mixed emotions about doing the quiz.
He does, probably. I don't.
Why would he?
He's easily embarrassed. I am not. He keeps everything inside. I have no filter.
Okay. Must make for an interesting time together.
It really is. It is. For me, anyways. Not for so much for him.
So, is it all right, then?
Sure.
Okay. All right. And your name is?
Amy.
Amy, give me one good reason you should play this quiz, Amy.
I'm a teacher in Wisconsin. Yeah. So I think I should deserve a little bit of a break once in a while.
A little bit back. Get a little back. Amy, right up these steps, at the top of which you'll find the What Do You Know stage in a Naugahyde booth with an emu. You sit there.
Okay.
And you just think about this whole filter problem. You have no filter.
None whatsoever.
Yeah. How did you guys meet then? Were you unfiltered one night and... Amy, did you say?
Amy.
Yes,
yeah, okay. It was about 30 years ago at a party in Stevens Point, Wisconsin.
Well, that'll do it. Say no more.
I can't really say much more.
No, I don't think so.
I don't remember much, and what I do remember,
he doesn't want to hear, yes. Yeah, he really whatever. But we're in school, I presume.
Yeah, we were in school.
Yeah, mm-hmm. In the same sort of, what were you taking?
We were in the same dorm, even.
Oh.
And that was really progressive back then. You
it
know,
was.
The boys were still on one floor and the girls were on another.
Yeah, but there was an elevator.
Yeah, there was probably not back then.
Yeah, could you open on the odd or even floors if you had to? Or?
Yeah, we could go back and forth, but you know, if you got, at midnight, the boys had to go back to their own room.
Sure.
And, there was always like this thing where if the boys were in your room, somebody would eventually pull the fire alarm.
Oh, cool.
And then the boys had to even make a choice to, you know, leave and get caught or else burn up in the potential.
And that's
fire.
Where you, this, did this happen when you met?
Never happened.
I'm sorry, we can't keep calling him.
Yeah, Bruce.
Bruce, yeah.
Yeah, never happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What never? Which part of that never happened?
He never got caught in my dorm room.
Okay. But he was there.
Never. Never.
Okay. And Amy, what do you do these days?
I don't even want to say now.
Okay.
I'm a teacher.
Oh, yes, that's right. And where are you teaching?
That part I'm not going to say.
You're not going to say. Is it here in Wisconsin?
Here in Wisconsin.
That you said that. Okay.
Yeah.
Northern?
Central Wisconsin.
I'm Central Wisconsin.
Fourth grade teacher.
Wisconsin Rapids, around there?
Yeah, probably around that area.
Okay. And what do you teach?
Fourth grade.
Fourth
so
grade.
I teach all the subjects.
That's a great grade, isn't
including
it?
Fourth grade history, which I really love.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a history of people in the fourth grade. That's why it's, it's always nice. They're nice kids and they have a lot of interest.
Do you know when Wisconsin became a state?
1853 or something like that.
1848.
48, yeah. I was going to say that next. God. That's 5 points right there. I lost.
Yeah, you're not getting any extra credit points today.
So fourth grade, is it mostly history that you teach then?
No, I teach all subjects.
All subjects.
Reading, writing, arithmetic.
Yeah?
Yeah. But that's about all we teach nowadays is just reading and
crowdfunding, math. New crowdfunding.
Yeah, apparently I am crowdfunded by the citizens of Wisconsin. So, you know.
And thank you for that.
I wish I was funded a little more.
Yeah. And do you have a club or a group that you run there at the school,
you
or
know,
a sport or something?
I don't, no, because it's a
don't
little
you need
elementary
one, really?
School. Yeah, we really do need one.
Yeah.
I would like to see one, you know, like a reading club or something, you know.
Okay.
Sports or something.
Sports while you're reading or something like that.
Shooting baskets, doing math at the same time.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that'd be good.
All right, Amy, someone out there plays along with you. That's how this works. You familiar with the quiz?
I am really familiar.
Okay. Okay, then, let's do it. I'm so excited now. And how does that work then, Sarah?
Somebody at home who wants to play along dials 1-800-942-5669,
yeah.
And you ask them a qualifying question.
Somebody's fourth grade teacher I got here.
Oh, we need to do what you should have learned in school.
Well, I got to. Oh, we got to get some in there first.
Yep.
At the,
get that.
Play on the other end. That's how this works. Don't tell me my job. It's only 2 hours a week, but I do it. I take it very seriously. And then when I'm done with it, I'm done with it. I don't think about it again until the next time. I got another 2 hours and I got to do this. And let's see. Vinny's out there. Hi, Vinny. I didn't ask the question yet. Why'd you call?
Well, I called to get on the quiz.
If you can tell me what the question is, I'll let you do it, Vinny.
The question is, Vinny, where are you standing right now? Is that a good question?
Well, you're clever, Vinny. You almost got me on that one.
I'm standing in front of the O'Reilly Auto Parts here in Mount Vernon, Illinois.
Oh, that's right. Darn it. Oh, yeah. Holy cow, Vinny. That's almost unfair.
What do you mean?
Okay.
You're an intellectual giant, Michael.
Oh, come on. Not that tall. I'm not that tall, Vinny. How are you doing, Vinny?
I'm doing great.
Are you waiting?
I'm going to turn on the radio.
No, don't turn on the radio.
My little boy can. Well, I'm going to step out of the car. My little boy is in the car.
Okay, don't leave him alone in the car.
My little boy, Eli.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Eli. How you doing?
Eli.
You're not going to leave him in the car, are you? Stay in the car with him and turn off the radio.
I told you I'm standing in front of O'Reilly's Auto Parts. Now I'm standing in front of my car at O'Reilly's Auto Parts.
I know, but your son is in the car and you're outside the car, and I'm not comfortable with this, Vinny.
Yes.
How old is Eli? How old is Eli?
Eli, how old are you? How old are you?
11.
11.
Oh, okay. Leave him in the car, then.
Yeah, he's in the car.
Leave it running, as a matter of fact, and see how far he gets.
I could.
Why are you in front of the auto parts, Vinny, is the real question here.
Well, all right. My Expedition just broke down in the driveway.
Oh, your Expedition then? Yeah.
The rear drive shaft.
Yeah.
Broke off the coupling. That
okay, never mind. Okay,
all
right. Vinny, this is Amy here.
Okay?
She's your partner. Amy. This is Amy. Vinny.
Hiya, Vinny.
Hi, I'm fine. How are you?
Good, thanks. Say
she
hi
didn't
to
ask how you were. She just said hi. Okay, but that's a small point. Two of you work as a team, okay, Vinny?
Okay, I can do that.
Okay, you want to pick the first category? Here they are.
Current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
What would you like, Vin?
Well, Amy is totally a teacher, so let's go with things you learned in school
first.
That would be good. So at least we'll get on the board.
Yeah, right. We're going to rock this, Vinny.
Which pole is losing ice and which pole is gaining? They are polar opposites, our poles. Did you know that as far as
do
ice?
What now?
Yeah. Being so clever and he's not even hearing me.
I got a crappy phone, Michael. Come on.
Please. I got one of those, too. Which pole is losing ice and which pole is gaining?
What do you think, Vinny? I kind of have an idea. I have an idea.
Okay, talk to me.
Well, I'm thinking the North Pole is probably losing ice and the South Pole is gaining ice just because, you know.
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's one right and zero wrong.
Yay, Vinny.
And the categories remaining are current events, people, places, science, or odds and ends.
Amy?
Yeah, science.
Science it is.
Love science.
Which of the following have the same sex chromosomes they had 140 million years ago?
All right.
Is it the garden variety snail, slime mold, or the iguana? Same chromosomes.
Okay, I got the slime mold.
I'll go with you. Slime. Oh, maybe not.
I'm sorry. It's the iguana.
Oh, crud.
The iguana.
How could it be the iguana?
How couldn't it be the iguana? Have you looked at an iguana lately? That guy hasn't moved in 140 million years.
That's one right and one wrong.
Don't worry about it. You'll get this.
Well, I want to say because the ice thing.
Yeah, please.
Ice,
what's left?
Water goes down. Water flows downhill. So that's why it's a stop call. But anyway, go ahead.
The categories remaining are current events, people, places, or odds and ends.
Okay, Vinny, which one of those do you want?
Current events.
Current events. This is right out of the news. Maybe not. Wait. Who gave the opening prayer in the U.S. Senate?
When?
Just recently.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Momentous. First time ever this gentleman gave the opening prayer in the U.S. Senate.
Oh, was it that one guy.
That one guy
keep going,
won't
keep going.
Do.
Amy.
Narrow
Amy.
It down.
Amy. Because I got nothing.
From Nepal. New Delhi. Nepal. The one guy.
Paul. No, his name is not
Paul.
No,
Nepal.
No, it wasn't Nepal.
Obama? Please. Is that what you're saying?
I'm sorry. That's
what? Oh, that Dalai Lama.
No, I'm sorry. You didn't get that.
No. It's too wrong.
I said the Dalai Lama.
I know you did, but a little bit late.
I'm never going to win.
Let's see.
Okay.
I'll tell you what. You get this one right, we'll give you the quiz, all right? Because you're 1-2 right now.
I'm not going to talk, okay, Vinny? I'll let you
You guys even it up, and I'll give it to you.
We're running out of time, y'all. It's people, places, or odds and ends.
All right.
Amy, you want to go?
Yeah.
Places.
I don't know what's got in
Who
geography.
Keeps the cleanest cars in the UK, in the United Kingdom? Who keeps the cleanest cars in the United Kingdom? Are the Scots, the Welsh, or the Southern English?
Oh, God.
Cleanest cars, wash the cars most often in the UK. The Scots, the Welsh, Southern English. Need an answer from you?
I'm too nervous to answer.
Quick.
We're going to lose.
Southern English.
Who? The Scots?
Yeah, maybe it was the
Scots. Unbelievable. Cleanest cars in the UK.
Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Thank you very much, Amy. Hang on there, Vinny. Make sure you get that. All kinds of prizes. Take that, too. Here. Boy, that worked out perfectly.
Live from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, it's Michael Feldman's What Do You Know from Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, I'm Sarah Nix. In this hour of What Do You Know, a successful town of the week, thanks for the memos and more of the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And now, the man who wonders, who crowdfunds the crowd? It's Michael Feldman.
Here's a good name. Harold Herring. No, that's the name of the company. Harold Herring Gear Manufacturing. Well, which is it? Is it Harold Herring an individual, or is he a gear manufacturing?
Harold Herring's the name. Gear Manufacturing's the business.
Oh, okay. You need a comma in there, Harold. I'll sell you a comma. Let's go meet Harold Herring, gear manufacturer. Star of a new show on Fox this fall. We have the original Harold Herring here, no actor, that you might see on a television program. Gear manufacturing is often overlooked as a career possibility. I'm going to stand up here. You've got one of those old, this goes back, this sweatshirt or whatever it is. It's shrunk on you.
I've grown.
Size maybe. That's an old What Do You Know sweatshirt, hoodie.
Indeed. It's as old as, not quite as old as you are.
Oh, come on there. With the jokes already, Harold Herring. You never know when Harold Herring is serious. That's one thing I've discovered over the years. I think you have too. Gear manufacturing. Were you in gear manufacturing when you purchased this hoodie?
Yes, I was.
So you've been in it a long time.
30 years.
Are they still inventing new gears?
New ways of making them.
New ways of making, but the gears are pretty much the same?
Yes.
Back to Archimedes, probably, gears, right?
Back when they were made of wood.
Right.
Yep.
And they're basically, the principle behind a gear is that one cog goes in to another.
Indeed. And
what's the opposite of a cog? Well, I mean, the thing the cog goes into on the other gear, what do you call that?
Tooth space.
I don't know. You've been in this 50 years now, and you don't know what it's called?
I'm not in the technical end of it.
How technical is that? I asked you. You're in gears, though.
It gets pretty
tough. We know a cog is the thing that sticks out on it, right?
So then you have a tooth space is what the cog...
Called a tooth space, or yes. Did you just make that up?
I made that up.
I like that, Harold. Did you rise in the company over the years? Are you way up there?
I've risen. I've fallen.
Religious. Gears are religious for you, aren't they?
Yes.
You have risen in the gear company.
Indeed.
And what are you now, like a president, vice president?
Not quite. In charge of shipping and receiving for the plant I'm at.
That's pretty good. And where is that?
Addison, Illinois.
That's okay. Let's hear it for Addison, Illinois. We applaud almost any place. But you live in Oak Park.
Yes. So
life is good.
Indeed.
Excellent. Is there a question I was supposed to ask? What is this here about latex gloves?
Yeah, on the at the desk out there where you pay for your admission, you also are selling CDs and books, but there's also a box of latex gloves there.
Turn your head and cough.
And I thought about asking the lady at the desk what they were for.
No, those are the what do you know souvenir latex gloves.
I didn't have a question, so I figured I'd just record that as a question.
Well, she'll take them out if you want her to, but you don't want her to.
No, that's quite all right.
So thanks for asking that.
What are they for?
I have no idea. I don't even know who she is. She doesn't work for us. She's a woman who comes here with a box of latex gloves every week. And I don't know what happens because I got a show to do, and I always come out there. I see some of them have been used when I come back. That's all I know about her.
Okay. Well, I'll find out on the way out, and I'll let you know.
I'm sure you'll find out one way or another.
Thank you.
Make sure she takes out a new pair. Let's see now. Did you ever have a mentor? I don't even know what a mentor is. Joan Pfeiffer? Is that right, from Milwaukee? Huh? Would you like to be my mentor? I did have a mentor many years ago. Yeah. I used to call Jack Mitchell, who was the head of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mentored and tormented. I used to call my mentor / tormentor. Yeah.
Well, that's about right.
Yeah. Those mentors can turn on you in a second.
And they can also make you think and maybe change something.
No, we don't ever change, do we?
Yes, you do.
No, we don't.
Yes, you should.
No, we don't. We don't change.
Well, maybe you don't.
No, that's right. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying we don't, you know.
Okay.
You can change if you want. What field are you in, Joan?
I'm a mentor teacher.
You're a mentor. You mentor other teachers, or are you?
Yes, I do, for Milwaukee Public Schools.
And so what do you do for them exactly?
I try to guide them, troubleshoot for them, help them fix their priorities. Yeah. And it's always the initial or permit teachers, brand new ones.
Well, you know, I taught for a number of years, and I always thought when I first went into teaching, first thing I thought they should have taught you is how to break a hammer lock. We had learning theory and stuff, you know, in teacher's school and stuff, and theories about brain development and all this stuff. But break a hammer lock, number one, then you got something to work with.
I haven't seen that one yet.
Yeah. But thank you very much, Joan. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
My mentor. She could be your mentor, too. What's that shirt there say?
Bazinga.
Yeah, what does that mean?
It's a quote from the Big Bang Theory.
Naturally, it's a quote from the Big Bang Theory. Bazinga. So what is it with the Big Bang Theory? I've watched it, and I don't get it at all. What am I missing in the Big Bang Theory?
It's just a bunch of jokes that kind of, not many shows actually show like interesting characters who are very nerdy, but this does.
Is it the nerdy part that attracts you?
Yeah.
It's no longer pejorative to say that one is a nerd, right?
Yeah.
Nerds now are making the big money.
Yes, they are.
All right, so are you in some nerdy type things?
I was in curling club. Don't know many people that do that. Curling club?
Curling club is cool now. Curling is so cool. Do you curl now?
Yes.
Yeah. And how's that going? Where do you go to school?
Appleton North.
Appleton North. Do they have a curling team?
No, the Appleton Curling Club is where I was participating.
Oh yeah, cool. And so are you on that team then?
I'm not sure if it's quite a team. It doesn't seem like they actually go to compete with anybody. It seems like they just get together and curl on Tuesdays.
I do that, too. I curl up on Tuesday through Thursday, usually. Should there be high school curling?
I think it would be a fun sport.
All right, there we go. Crowdfunded. Your name?
Karch Swanchera. Karch Swanchera.
Okay, I'm glad you said that because I don't think I can do it, but that's a great name. Nice to meet you. Very good. Why is the butter so much better here? What does that even mean? We sat Russ Feingold on the bubbler. Okay, that'd be cool at some point to talk about that. We do the rest of the week. Here we go to those again. How does a guy who only works, another type of work be done? You actually get paid for doing this. Multiple universes, retro. Jen Breko. Jen Breko, Madison, Wisconsin, freelance copywriter.
Over here.
Huh? Oh, okay, good. Let's go over and say hello. First person is not concerned about my wherewithal, if that is still a word. No one says wherewithal anymore, and it's you use it in your everyday speech. It's a good thing. Hey, Jen Breko, freelance copywriter.
Yes.
You'll write copy for anybody.
Anybody.
So if I need copy, I call you.
Right.
Okay. How'd you get into that field?
Well, it's a long story. I was a journalist, and that's not such a great job anymore.
Copywriting.
Right.
All right. And what is this? Your 8-year-old? What?
Yes.
What's going on here? Hi. Is this true?
Yes, it is.
Okay. What is it that you want to know?
If you ever get mixed up between Michael Phelps, if everybody ever calls you Michael Phelps.
You laugh, it happens to me all the time.
Really? I imagine.
Especially if they see me swim or in a pair of Speedos. I say, Michael Phelps. No, I get that all the time. It's Feldman.
Great. Yeah,
thank you. Thank you very much for making that mistake. Very sweet. What was your name, dear?
Breko. My name's Mia Breko.
Okay, we got it both times. Your name is out there now, Mia Breko. We're going to play another round of the What Do You Know quiz because you know why?
I have no idea because we're doing things backwards in the second hour.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
You think we shouldn't?
It's up to you.
Yeah?
Yeah, you're the boss. If you want to play the quiz now, let's play the quiz now.
All right, let's do the quiz now. Okay. Or do you want to do the town of the week now?
We can do memos. I don't know if you have memos.
We got memos. I got all kinds of stuff.
Let's do memos first.
We'll do memos. I'll tell you what, we'll do memos, and then we'll do town of the week.
Oh, that's great. Brilliant.
Okay, all
right. And the boys can play, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll do the quiz.
Sorry, I was just going freelance.
That's okay. It was exciting, that's for sure.
All right. You know, each week we read memos from actual listeners, don't we? Some weeks we don't. Yeah, I don't know. You gotta vary it up a little bit, don't you? Where did I put the memos? Here they are right here. Thanks for the memos. First of all, this on the headphones thing was very controversial here. About if you have to put your R earbud or headphone on your R ear and your L on your L ear, and if you reverse them, if you go crazy. That was very controversial here. And Larry Wright, apparently he knows about this. And he says, earbud left-right controversy, like the ability to judge distance that having two eyes gives us, binocular vision, having two ears, stereo hearing, gives us the ability to determine the direction the sound comes from. This applies to the use of earbuds primarily when listening to something that has a specific placement of sound sources, such as classical music, where the violins are expected to be on the right. Why are violins expected to be on the right?
That's how they set up the symphony.
But expected is a strong word.
Well, there's...
Do you expect violins on the right?
I demand violins on the right.
Okay, then he's right. And as we touched on during the show, modern audio engineers have frequently done things to take advantage of stereo to add to the entertainment of the recording. In fact, when all stereo recordings have designated right and left tracks that can be replicated by using your earbuds in the designated ears, You still get to hear all the music, even if you reverse the earbuds, but without the directional, suddenly the violins are on the left.
Oh.
You know, I think is what he's saying here. And that can be upsetting to the average listener, the average stereo listener. But without the directional placement the recording artist intended. Your ears, your music, your call. Thank you very much, Larry Wright. And I hope he's in this business and not just blowing it out his ears. And then they said, because she says the violins are expected to be on the right, and then they said they pan according to the drums. That's stupid. I mean, Jeff, why? It should be according to the bass.
Oh.
It should be on the right.
But no, that's where you expect to find the violins. You wouldn't be on, the bass would be with the violins?
Yes.
But there's a specific way they set up a symphony, right, Jeff?
Exactly. Based on that.
That's based on that.
Okay. No, say no more.
No pun intended.
Okay, we got a couple of memos here. We haven't read them for a couple of weeks, so I'll read a couple. We got some office-type things here now. This went out to everybody, I guess, okay, and it reads as follows. There are shoe prints in what appears to be a naked butt print on the conference table in the second floor, conference suite. Really? Really? That table gets used by a lot of people, apparently. Please show some respect. If you must use it for a photo shoot or whatever, there are cleaning supplies under the sink in the kitchenette. Use them. Signed, building manager. That's a pretty good one. Okay, well, there's a toilet seat one. We get a lot of toilet seat related things or toilet related things. This actually comes from, this is international, it comes from Heathrow Airport. He's got a company around the block from Heathrow Airport in London. And they got this memo. It said, good afternoon. English, huh? I love the way they talk. Good afternoon. We would like to bring it to the attention of all tenants that within the last 3 weeks, 11 toilet seats have had to be replaced within the building. This clearly highlights that more care and attention is required when using facilities. I love the English. May I ask if all colleagues can be made aware that the building has shared toilet and shower facilities and that these should be used appropriately and left in the exact manner in which people would wish to find them. Kind regards. Isn't that nice? This is definitely not an American memo. Now, here's one that is a little more. This is actually goes out to some government department here. It's a plant maintenance alert. It has come to our attention that a plant is missing from the third floor. These plants are leased from a company who also maintains and replaces the plants when needed. We are asking that whoever may have took the plant, grammar, on the third floor to please return it as soon as possible. These plants are not ours to keep. Also, we have been asked not to water the plants anymore. The company that owns the plants are responsible for watering the plants. If there is a plant that needs attention, is dying, or sick, please contact names removed. Thank you very much, building maintenance. Thank you for those memos and keeping us here in the pushing the envelope from the outside in the memo business. Where can they send those memos?
People with such clarifying memos can send them to whatdoyouknow@wpr.org with the subject line memos, or they can go to notmuch.com and post it there.
Yes.
Yep.
And how else can they reach us?
There's snail mail.
Okay.
People want to pay for postage. 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Care of What Do You Know? Thanks for the memos.
Yeah, and if you're on the Twitters, I'm on the Twitters. You just got to follow at my Feldman, and I'll be your Feldman. Just for doing that. Well, you know, each week at this time, John hits that chord. What is that chord?
It's a B-flat triad.
A B-flat triad.
Mm-hmm. Here it is.
I love that chord. It's stimulating. That's right. It means it's town of the week time in town, village, or burg somewhere across the greater U.S. Here is Sarah Nix.
Yuba City is in Sutter County, Northern California, about halfway between the Mendocino and Tahoe National Forests.
Oh, nice.
The Maidu people were the original settlers in the region, living off the fertile land as hunters and gatherers, fishing and harvesting acorns. Oh.
Spanish and Mexican expeditions first explored the area in the early 1800s, and local lore goes that Yuba City was named for the wild grapes, uva in Spanish, that were growing along the Yuba and Feather rivers that flow nearby. Gold was discovered in the area in 1848, and the town grew up as a commercial center for prospectors. Yuba City was officially founded in 1849, and by 1852, it had a hotel, a grocery store, a post office, and 150 residents. These days, about 65,000 people live in Yuba City. Its economy is built around retail, healthcare, and farming. It's also home to the world's largest dried fruit processing plant, Sunsweet Growers. In 1988, the city launched the California Prune Festival. It was renamed the California Dried Plum Festival in 2001 and shut
was
down.
Was it really?
It was, and then it shut down 2 years later.
Because of the name change.
Yeah. Well, they said that it was
dried
due.
Dried plum.
They said that they shut down in part because of competition from other festivals.
Huh.
Yeah. Yuba's home to one of the largest Sikh communities in the nation, and there's a Sikh parade every November that draws more than 100,000 visitors. If you are in the area, you can visit the Community Memorial Museum of Sutter County. You can hear the roar of engines at the Hot Slots Raceway or wander through one of Yuba City's dozens of parks. And if you're looking to catch some sports, you can check out the Yuba College 49ers, and that is Yuba City, our town of the week.
49ers are pretty good this year, weren't they? Didn't I hear something about the Yuba City 49ers? What's the college?
Yuba College.
Yuba College, naturally.
Yeah.
Is it in Yuba City?
I believe so, yeah.
49ers. I thought I heard. Anyone hear about the 49ers, how they did this year? Yuba City? 49? Okay. Well, I can ask. We found someone here actually this week.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Isn't it amazing
success.
What you can do with a little prayer when you have a guy praying for you in Tel Aviv?
Yeah, that's right.
You don't want a guy praying for you in Tel Aviv, though. I mean, it's got nothing to do with Jerusalem or anything. You know, it's ways. Anyway, Bob Harlan's on the phone from Yuba City. And hi, Bob. How are you?
Very good. Good morning, Michael.
How are you? Pretty good?
Yeah. Nice sunny day.
Sunny day.
Filled state of California.
Yeah. What do you got planned for today, Bob? You got to be out there doing something, I'm sure.
Well, I'm the president of the Acting Company, which is a local community theater. And we have children's plays and main stage adult plays. Five plays this weekend, so it keeps me busy.
You know what? You sound well-spoken. I can believe that you're an actor.
I'm not an actor.
You're not an actor.
I've never been on a stage. I'm on the management.
But you have a good voice. You have a voice that would project, I would think.
Well, I was in radio for 30 years before retirement. So,
So
I'm kind of doing the same thing you're doing.
Are there a lot of old radio people in Yuba City?
A few of us, not a lot.
Yeah. What sort of radio did you do, Bob?
Well, we had a community radio station, which is still in existence, KUBA Radio, which is 1600 on the dial in Yuba City, and the cluster of three stations. Uh-huh. I had a talk show for many years and also was general manager of the station for many years.
So naturally you had your own show.
Yeah, exactly.
General manager always gets the show. You know, that's pretty much.
That's right.
You want to get in radio, be a general manager. You'll
that's
get on,
right.
In the radio. And yours, it was a talk show? Was it a politics thing or just a general sort of chat show? Or
general chat, kind of what you're doing, just kind of keeping things light and a lot of information about the community.
Yeah. We do more misinformation than information, but that's nice. Community radio, that's what you should do. Play any music on there too, Bob? Or?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right now the format is an oldies format.
Oldies. In Yuba City.
Right.
You're not still doing that? You're still general managing that? Or?
No, I'm a property owner, but... it was sold out about 4 years ago.
Yeah. And now what's this thing you're doing with the actors? What's that?
Well, I'm president of the Acting Company, which is community theater. Mm-hmm. And we've been around. We're celebrating our 30th season.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
It's highly respected with very high quality performers.
Yeah. And these are all local people who want to do some acting, and you work with them and develop all the productions.
Yeah, literally 98% of the actors are from... Yuba City and our adjoining areas of Yuba and Sutter counties.
Yeah. Where are the other 2% from?
Well, once in a while, once in a great while, we have...
a passerby comes through somewhere.
Actors from Sacramento.
Okay.
They come up.
Big leaguers up there in Sacramento, huh?
Yeah. They're equity actors. And,
oh, boy. You got to pay them.
We actually have to pay them a stipend.
That's not good. They should at least bounce it back to you as a donation or something.
Well, in many ways, they do.
But in an important way, they don't. Anyhow, so what are you mounting currently there?
Right now, we're in the final. It's kind of interesting because you're in Wisconsin. We're right. In the final weekend of Escanaba in the Moonlight.
Escanaba? That's yeah. Near us. We got Upers right here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Upers filled the stage last night. And,
in Yuba City.
Play. Jeff Daniels wrote it back in the 1980s.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me, I've heard about
actually
that.
Early 90s, I guess it was.
Yeah. Jeff Daniels wrote it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Has he appeared in that thing? What's it called again?
Escanaba in the Moonlight.
That sounds beautiful. In the Moonlight. Perfect. Yeah. You guys been to Escanaba, of course? Beautiful in the moonlight. I would imagine. I've only seen it by day. It was nice. Well, that's excellent. But you don't actually, how come you've never actually taken a part in one of these plays?
Well, I can't remember lines. I'm amazed at how people can remember literally hundreds of lines and yeah. keep the production going so smoothly.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did have recorded a segment in one production about 4 or 5 years ago. It was probably, I was playing a radio announcer.
Mm-hmm. Oh, aren't you worried about being typecast?
Yeah.
Bob, did you hear the description of Yuba City? Was that pretty accurate? Anything you want to add to that or take away from?
Well, it was pretty accurate. Yeah. The Yuba College 49ers actually are in the adjacent county of Yuba County.
Oh.
It's always been kind of confusing because Yuba City is not in Yuba County.
No.
And
why
and
would
when
it
you
be?
Come out here, you're wondering, you know, what's going on here.
Yeah.
But
where the Yuba am I? Yeah, yeah.
Yuba College 49ers are...
Weren't they good? Did they have a good year or something?
They had a fair year last year. They're kind of in a rebuilding phase with a brand new coach and things going real well. So I think we'll see them in the next couple of years return to stardom. We do have another summer wood bat league here. Mm-hmm. And we have the Marysville Gold Sox, which is very well-respected and highly attended. They'll pull in generally between 1,000 and 3,000 people a night to watch their games in the summer.
The Gold Sox?
They're college kids from all over the United States that come to play here.
Mm-hmm. Well, how cool. How cool. You got a nice ballpark there?
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then, all right, so some of the other parts of town now, if we were coming there and looking around, what would you want to make sure that we saw in Yuba City or the county?
Well, basically, we are an agricultural area. 94% of the entire Sutter County, which Yuba City is located in, is undeveloped.
Okay.
We have rice, walnuts, peaches, almonds, prunes.
Yeah.
Also, we have a lot of hunting and fishing and bird watching, hiking.
Sounds great.
We have three rivers that run through our area, plus a large bypass from the... Sacramento River.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you mentioned was the Sikh parade, which is in November. We also have a Punjabi festival, which is a Sikh festival, and that's Memorial Day weekend.
Hmm.
Also, we have a lot of other just kind of fun things that go on throughout the year, nothing major.
Yeah. What's the big draw at the Punjabi festival? I mean, I've never been to one. Is it like corn dogs or something? Or?
No, I don't think they have corn dogs.
What sort?
It's really very much a celebration of the Sikh culture.
Right.
And it basically attending it, you might find probably about 95% of the people there are East Indian.
Mm-hmm.
This is, after all, one of the largest conclaves of East Indians outside of India.
But food-wise, what would you get? I mean, because when I think of festivals, I go there to eat and...
Yeah, it's all range of great East Indian cuisine.
Sounds really good. All right, so you got that, and you got and the Sikh festival, and what else you got
going
on
there? Yeah, one thing you didn't mention was we are home to the world's smallest mountain range.
Didn't come up.
The world's smallest mountain range. Oh, that's cool.
Well, it was a volcano that formed about 1.6 million years ago.
Uh-huh.
And it's been inactive for 1.4 million years.
Well, that's a long time, yes.
And actually, from the ground, it looks like a little mountain range, but from the air, of course, it's circular like a volcano.
Mm-hmm.
But this mountain range is only a few miles long, and it's been dubbed as the world's smallest mountain range.
Yeah, what's the altitude on the tallest peak of the smallest?
It goes up to about 2,100 feet.
That's not so small. Around here, that would be a huge edifice. In Illinois, that you could see all of Illinois from that.
Or as Sarah Palin says, I can see Russia from my back porch.
Yeah, from the smallest mountain range on my porch, you could see it. Well, that's really
interesting.
So it's a collapsed volcano, basically.
Yeah, it's a dormant volcano.
Yeah.
Also, it had the Minuteman missiles in it during the Cold War.
No, really?
Yeah, had Minuteman missile silos in there, and they filled those with concrete, and nobody can get in there anymore.
Why would they put Minutemen on the smallest mountain range in the world? Would they want a bigger mountain range?
I guess it was convenient. I don't know. Probably was porous enough to put stuff in. Also, you were mentioning in the lead-in about grapes.
Grapes?
And this is the home of the Thompson seedless grape. It was developed here back in 1875.
People take it for granted now, but in the old days, you bit into one of those things, you could crack a tooth.
Thompson seedless grape?
No, before the Thompsons. I'm saying, no, God, no. Grapes with seeds in them. Kids now, they'd fall over if they bit into a seed into a grape. That's the difference that Thompson seedless grapes made.
And one other thing. It did not happen here.
No.
But
in the county, maybe.
No, not even in the county.
No.
But we have a fellow who was an early aviation pioneer and inventor, and he actually was the first person to develop an airplane.
No.
And
that's not true.
Yeah.
No, come on.
Would I lie to you?
I don't know. You sound pretty truthful. But you're a radio guy. They all do.
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah.
But that was back. He actually had a heavier than air flight near San Diego back in 1883.
No kidding.
And has a U.S. patent for that flight. Hmm. For the invention of the airplane was granted on September 18th, 1906.
Right.
Before the Wright brothers. So.
Oh. And his name, is that lost to posterity?
John. Oh no, that's not his name. What is his name? It's been lost to my
John Posterity. First man to fly.
Yeah, John Posterity.
From Yuba City to the county.
That's right.
All the way into the county.
Yeah, no, actually he did it in San Diego.
Okay. Well, how is he related to Yuba City then?
He was born and raised here.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
That works for me then. Bob, I want to thank you so much. It's been fascinating. I think we know everything you could know right now from this vantage point about Yuba City and Sutter.
One thing I might do before we go is give you a way to find out more about the area.
Yes. Let me ask you then, Bob. Bob, is there a way we can find out more about the area?
Michael, I'm glad you asked. Yes, there is. Our tourism website is being reconstructed. It's down right
under
now.
Under construction.
But we do have a magazine, so you can scroll through that online.
Oh, you can.
And you can get to it by...
What do you do?
www.ys, as in Sam, magazine. .com.
Magazine, as in magazine?
Yeah, ysmagazine.com.
.com as in .com, okay. Uh-huh. Okay, ysmagazine.com will get you there, and that'll tell us what's going on in Yuba City and all the festivals.
Exactly, everything you wanted to know.
Okay, perfect. Bob, here's a little something for you.
Bob, we'll be sending you the treasure of America's Dairyland with a delectable selection of cheeses made without artificial growth hormones or genetically modified ingredients from Cedar Grove Cheese, Southern Wisconsin cheesemakers since 1878.
That's good cheese. You're going to like that, Bob.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for talking with us. Bob Harlan from Yuba City, our town of the week. Well. Oh, and he said that he called them prunes, though.
Yeah. And raisins.
Yeah. Well, whoever thought that calling them dried plums.
Plums.
Because they had those dancing prunes. They were a sensation. Yeah. They did the Motown thing, the dancing prunes, remember? They were a
I think those were California raisins, actually, Michael. They were
okay.
Oversized.
Never mind. Yeah. They sure look like prunes, so they're full-length kind of. Okay, California raisins.
Well, see, there you go. You change something, and then the whole thing falls apart.
I know. Okay. What? You guys want to talk?
Do you want to throw the dart, Michael?
What?
No.
Oh, yeah, let's throw the dart.
Yeah. Okay.
Throw
good.
The dart.
We need a new.
I was thinking, I thought they were dancing prunes all these years. And I think, why would they do that and call them dried plums then when you got a killer?
It makes no sense whatsoever. Who wants to throw the dart? Oh, don't all jump up at once.
This picks our time of the week. You should take the dart with you.
Anybody? Okay. Oh, this is the treehouse lady. Good. We get to hear the backstory on this.
No.
Hurry up here as quickly as possible.
What's your name?
Tessa.
And where did the inspiration for the treehouses come from?
My mother would like a treehouse to retire in.
Perfect. Let's go.
See, if you had the dart, you'd have it now.
Yeah, if I had the dart, we'd be too far from the stage.
You can throw the microphone at the
man. It might be dangerous.
That's just as good. Sometimes they stick.
Okay, here you go. Don't turn around and don't hit Michael. There you go.
A little farther back.
No, one step. That's it. You're good.
Yes! Virginia, no less. Yep. Blackstone, Virginia.
All right. Thank you very much. Nice job there, Bitsy. Sarah Nix, ladies and gentlemen, and the town of the week. Okay. She wasn't manning the applause sign, so she didn't get it very good. Try it again. Sarah Nix and the town of the week. Moving right along here, you gentlemen feel like, something on your mind,
well,
John.
Jeff and I are playing a gig tomorrow at the Brink Lounge here in Madison, Wisconsin at 3 o'clock.
Is this the same one that you were playing the other week?
Well, I mentioned it 2 weeks ago. No, it's the same one.
Oh, this is very exciting. The Brink Lounge right here in Madison, if you're going to be here in Madison. And when is it?
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock.
Tomorrow at 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yes, sir.
And you'll be going till late in case people have to work and they want to come right after work and then get there?
I hope they're not working on Sunday. Well, maybe they are. I mean,
oh, it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow.
Oh, okay. At the Brink Lounge, then.
Yeah.
At 3 o'clock, so after church.
Yeah, after church, sure.
You can come
after
in
services.
There.
Services.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a cover charge?
There is a cover charge.
But it's minimal, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure what it is.
And do you get a free drink with that, or?
You probably do not get a free drink with that.
Do you have a list? Can you put some of the people on the list here so they don't have to?
I don't have a list, no.
Okay. Well, then you won't see me there. Right?
Well, yeah, you know,
you
could probably work
something out.
You
could be on the list one time.
You could be on the list.
Okay. So this little tune here, they'll probably hear that tomorrow, huh?
They just might, yeah.
Which is Sunday, by the way.
No moon at all. Yeah, Sunday. Did I say that? March 9th.
You did.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's Michael Feldman.
Jeff, you're not getting the microphone anymore. We're back. You know, I'm never giving you this microphone again, man. You got my audience to do sprints out the door. They sprinted out the door. You said we had 5 minutes, nothing in it. Look, he's still sprinting. We're back. Don't ever do it again, man. on air, see, on air, we're here. Those of you at home wondering what happened here, Jeff encouraged the audience to get up and run out the door during his 1 minute, claiming he had actually 5 minutes to fill. And now we're left with just all these cards and no one attached to them. Story of my life. You're a pretty good runner, by the way. Are you in track?
Nope.
No running at all?
Nope.
Sports of any?
Nope.
That's it, huh? Well, it's pretty good. A guy who can run and never actually did any running.
Okay.
Stamina? You have very good stamina.
Not really.
Panting, I noticed. You did run out of the door and come back in, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I noticed you have the periodic table of the elements on your shirt. I'd like to see that in a young man.
Okay.
Okay. Interested in the elements?
Yeah.
Any elements in particular?
I really like xenon.
Xenon is... What do you do with xenon?
It looks pretty.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah. It's a beautiful purple when you run electrical current through it.
Yeah. You run electrical current through xenon? Does your teacher know you're doing this?
Not really.
Where do you go to school then?
West Bend East.
West Bend East? And there's xenon in the school?
Little tubes of it.
And what is xenon used for in practical applications?
Not very much. It's as an inert gas, sometimes in light bulbs.
Why would you want an inert gas in your light bulb?
Because you need an inert gas.
What's the point of it? It's inert. Doesn't do anything, right?
Exactly. Yeah. No gas. It won't react with other elements.
But then why is it in there if you don't need it?
No, you do need it, because otherwise you'd have a reaction in your light bulb.
Between what and what?
Between the stuff in the light bulb. Magnesium. Yeah. Magnesium and is sometimes used in it, but the filament and your gas inside it.
Okay. And your name is?
John.
Science is good for you, right?
Yes.
Going into that field and...
Yes.
And you're going to go into the xenon sub-science?
No.
What do you think?
Or physics.
Yeah, nice to meet you.
You too.
You're a smart young man. I learned something. Linda from Milwaukee, can you program my new Moto G cell phone? Yes, I can. You just have to give it to me. I'll take it home. I got to run it through a few tests at home. Okay, because I don't have all the stuff I need here. Okay?
I've got it. Can I just toss it over?
Yeah. Toss it. Right here. Moto. Okay. Moto G. Naturally, it's a G. It's the only kind I do, G's. Happy to help you with that. Now, I'm a little disturbed at this because we have a firefighter here, Chuck Sheehan from Rolling Meadows, Illinois, who doesn't know if creosote is flammable. Chuck, shouldn't you know that by now? I mean, how long have you been in firefighting? Oh, there he is, right back there. I mean, this has probably come up. So, is creosote, the stuff that forms in your chimney, flammable or combustible? Those are not alternatives, by the way. Those are the same. That means the same thing. Flammable and combustible. Okay, they're different to you, maybe, but to me, they both means they burn. They burn. Okay, let's say, anyhow, he says, a leading manufacturer of a product you put in your fireplace claims creosote is nearly highly flammable. Flash points and ignition temperatures differ in combustible and flammable. Okay, there's a difference right there, your flash points. Flammable being much more, turnover card, dangerous. I've tried to research this, but cannot find the answer. Well, you should know this as a firefighter, though.
I should. I should, but that's why...
Did it come up in firefighting class?
No, it didn't. And that's why I came to the show, to find out that answer.
And you think I'm going to know it? Look at me. You think I know if creosote is combustible or flammable?
It's been nagging at me, Michael. And
it's an important thing to know for a firefighter, because then you have chimney fires, right? That's the creosote, isn't it?
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
So you knew this all along.
Yeah, but is it flammable or combustible? Because flammable is much more dangerous. It's much more...
I see what you're saying now. So you're talking flashpoint. Well, have you found out?
I cannot find that. And I thought maybe somebody in the audience or yourself might.
My kid here knows all about xenon. And have you run across that there in West Bend? No? Could you check it out? Because I think you're the guy to do something about that. Run an electric current through a chimney and see what happens. So the flashpoint, what's the difference in flashpoints now? Flammable, combustible?
Flash points are much lower, and ignition temperatures are lower on something that's flammable.
Yeah, I know. We're talking what, like, for example, degree-wise?
Well, let's say gasoline is minus 45. Yeah. Diesel fuel is, 118 above.
No kidding.
Oh, yes.
So one doesn't burn at all?
Well, they'll burn, yeah. But they...
Well, the great difficulty.
Yes.
Okay, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
I don't know. We're not accomplishing much here, I feel, sometimes. You know, though, I was thinking John Elvacrog is here. Yeah, from Stoughton. Oh, you're right next to him. Can I just stand up here, John? Because, I mean, you sell seed and fertilizer.
Correct.
Isaac Reno as combustion thing going for. If you run into the creosote thing, because you must have a lot of creosote as well.
Not really. No. I don't. Doesn't subject doesn't come up that often, or
creosote never came up there, and like in the feed and supply store.
No, I know people that have had chimney fires though.
Okay. Did they say anything about their flashpoints?
No.
Was that the last thing on their mind at that time?
Main thing was getting it out.
Yeah. Is he a friend of yours?
Yes, very good friend.
Did you ever have this creosote discussion with him? Well, you brought it right up first thing with me.
This is the first time, but we probably will discuss it more
over
later.
Lunch, I think. Yes. And a beer thing. Okay, well, thank you. It wasn't helpful at all. All right, we're going to play the What Do You Know quiz. Chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being the fabulous person that you are. All these years of going to school, and what do you get for it? Bony fingers. So let's see the hands. Let's see those bony fingers right now. Put them up in the air. If you want to play the What Do You Know quiz, and you can win such fabulous prizes as come on here. Things that you never even dreamed of, or will again, once you get them. Are you one of our Youpers?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm so glad. From the UP, ladies and gentlemen, the People's Republic of the Upper Peninsula. And you are?
Steve Seaman.
Steve, what do you do for way of life?
Well, I just retired as a bingo caller 2 days ago. There. I'm retired other than that, so.
You just do that one night a week? Or?
Yeah, one night a week.
That's the only job better than mine is a bingo caller.
17 people last week.
17?
Yeah.
We got a few more here, but close. It's the same neck of the woods. One good reason, Steve, you should play this quiz.
I wanted to have an adventure. I'm into adventure now.
Is this the one you wanted to have, though? Really? Come on.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Okay, if it's gotten to that, why not then? I don't see why not. Steve from the UP, everybody. You tell he's from the UP, he's got his phone on his belt. That says UP to me. You don't have your keys out there on your belt, though.
No, I'm a retired college professor, so didn't have to do that.
Okay. Yeah, I thought everyone was required up there because utility. Pull them out. You know,
no, but we wear a lot of flannel shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
UP. Love it. And where's your hometown there?
Curtis.
And Curtis is where? Located?
It's near the bottom of the peninsula on the east side, about an hour from the bridge.
Hour from the bridge? Mm-hmm. You can see the bridge from where you are? Or is that just
Sarah
Palin?
No, not Sarah Palin. Yeah. I'm a little smarter than that.
Yeah. And did you grow up there? Are you born there and grew up there?
No, I was born and raised in Harbor Springs.
Harbor Springs, which is where?
Just south of the bridge, about a half hour.
Still in the UP, though?
No.
No?
No. The bridge should...
Oh, it's
bridge
over the
connects.
Bridge. You went over the bridge.
Yes, I went over the bridge.
The whatchamacallit bridge.
Mackinac Bridge.
Yeah. I went there. That was one of our family vacations. We had to go up there and see the locks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and we had to go over the bridge there, and my dad and... I'll never forget it. I can't remember it, but I'll never forget it. It was, but I know it was a momentous thing. Going with it. It's quite a bridge.
I remember the ferry. I remember going across on the ferry before the bridge.
Yeah, yeah. What's on the other side there? Where you grew up, I guess.
Oh, in Harbor Springs?
Yeah.
It was a resort town.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. And the town, Curtis, is that a resort town as well?
Yeah. Fishing resort type of thing.
Oh, they do fishing up there.
Yeah.
That's cool. Why are so Youpers? They don't seem like they have an axe to grind. They always seem like really they're nice people. They're like our Canadians, or the Youpers. You know?
Yeah, that's why I moved there, really, just to be more laid back and that kind of stuff.
But they have a good attitude.
Yeah, most. Not all.
A few of them there. We won't talk about them. And so then now you're retired. Now, how's that working out?
Oh, it's working out great now.
Yeah, it is. What
we're
are you
having
doing?
Adventures.
Yeah, this is one I know, but what are the adventures are you having?
We're going all the way down to Louisiana.
You are?
And across to Florida and up the East Coast to
Philadelphia. What vehicle are you doing this in?
We're doing it in a Chevy Silverado truck.
Silverado is a good way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And we say we?
My wife and I.
Yeah, and your wife?
Joe.
Oh, wife, you've read the four disclaimers there. Okay, she did a very good job on that, too. And so that's great. So you're on an odyssey, kind of.
Yeah,
see America.
We're just going
Silverado.
And stopping when we want to, whichever casino's nearby.
Do you play the occasional? What's your
occasionally.
Game?
Occasionally, just the slots.
Just the slots.
Yeah,
it's a loser's game, man.
I know it, but You know, you got to do something.
They've got a program. They know exactly how, you know, the killing you're going to take there.
Yeah.
At the slot machine.
Yeah.
He plays a game of skill. A guy like you should play a game of skill.
Well, I did blackjack for a while.
Yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
He's got to memorize all the cards.
Fun. It's not much fun. People are too serious.
And, well, they're losing money, you know. All right, so Steve, someone out there plays along with you. That's how it works pretty much. And by the way, is the next leg of your adventure after this? Where are you going from here?
We're heading to, probably we're stopping off at Memphis.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. I thought you were kidding about that adventure thing. He's really an adventurous man. So how does this work then, Sarah?
People who want to play the quiz, pick up the phone and dial 1-800-942-5669. You ask them a qualifying question,
and if they get it
right, they get to be Steve's partner in the quiz.
Okay. The New Jersey teen is suing her parents for what? It's been in the news everywhere. This is current events. New Jersey teen suing her parents for what? You've read about it. You don't want to hear about it anymore. You've heard about it so much. But that's the question. Matt's with us from Appleton. Hey, Matt.
She's suing her parents for her college tuition.
All right, Matt, right off the bat there. Okay. Should she get it, Matt? What do you think?
No chance.
I think that's the general thinking along those lines. Matt,
absolutely.
This is Steve here. He's your partner in crime here.
Hi, Matt.
Hi, Steve. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah. What do you do up there in Appleton, Matt?
Well, in this time of year, as little as possible, stay inside because it's cold.
Yeah. Rest of the year, yeah, what do you do when it warms up? What do you do?
Sales. I'm in sales. So I'm inside most of the time anyway.
Okay. What sort of sales are you in?
Consumer packaged goods.
Oh. Would I know any of those?
You probably would.
Yeah.
A lot of household cleaners.
Name one.
Lysol.
Oh, Lysol. My mother's spiritual advisor was a Lysol bottle. She lived for Lysol. Wow, isn't that something?
Good
to bring back memories. Okay, Matt and Steve, you are a team. As I said, we have various categories, don't we, Sarah Nix?
We do. The categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, and odds and ends.
Matt, pick the first one. What would you like?
How about current events?
Current events, right out of the news. Okay, this was mentioned earlier. Sarah Palin, President Obama, mom jeans in the Ukraine. What? Talk it over. Right on the news. Sarah Palin, President Obama, mom jeans in the Ukraine. What?
What do they have in common? Is that what you're asking?
No, I don't know. This was in current events, so all these things were in something in current events. I'll say one more time.
Well, Ukraine is in current events.
Sarah Palin. No, it's all related to Sarah Palin. President Obama, mom jeans, and the Ukraine. No idea? Okay.
Would you like to give him another category?
No idea.
We could do that.
No.
One wrong. I'm sorry, that's one
I'm
wrong.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
She said that the Ukraine was invaded by Putin because the president wore mom jeans.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, pretty straightforward.
Didn't realize we had to put it into a sentence like spelling.
Well, I'm asking why was that in current events? You know,
hard to understand.
Something we can argue about and agree to disagree on.
The categories that remain are people, places, things you should have learned in school, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Help us out here, Steve.
Things you should have learned in school.
Oh, yeah, you should have learned, yes. By far the most common star among the billions and billions, star type, red dwarf, white dwarf, or the green giant?
I think it's the red dwarf.
Red dwarf.
I'll go with that.
Yes, red dwarf, over half. Some say two-thirds.
That's one right and one wrong.
Yeah. Okay, so what's left there?
People, places, science, or odds and ends.
Okay, now we're back on track. Matt, what do you want?
How about places?
Places it is, okay. Let's see. No. All right, well, in Chicago, what are dibs? D-I-B-S. Something occurs during the winter in Chicago. They're called dibs. If you're from Chicago and know someone from Chicago, you know what dibs are. You know, John, dibs in Chicago. Any idea?
Can I phone a friend?
No. All right. How about this then? Racine has the most what's outside of where? No, you're not going to get that. Okay, let's see what else we got here. All right, how about the percentage of Kansans who won't go to the state fair if Governor Brownback moves it to Labor Day? They won't go to the state fair if he moves it to Labor Day weekend. Is it 99.9%, 1 or 2, or over half?
I'm going to say over half.
Over half is right. Good. Say that. Say that. That saves us a lot of time.
That's 2 right and 1 wrong.
Okay. Now we're on to something here. What remains there?
People, science, or odds and ends?
Odds and ends.
Odds and ends. Okay, here it is. For all the money. Turns out that preschoolers can do what naturally, just by their very nature? They can, A, have a go-to excuse already. They can, B, do algebra. Or C, they can use perspective in drawings if they want to. They can do this naturally, they discovered, through experimentation on the children. They can, preschoolers, do this naturally. They have a go-to excuse for anything that occurs. They can do algebra, B, or they can use perspective in drawings. Talk it over, gentlemen.
I'm thinking perspective, Steve. What do you think?
I'm not sure. Either that's the... or the excuses.
Yeah. Not the algebra?
No, I was thinking algebra.
They could sort of naturally figure out where the X and the Y, figure for the X and Y naturally.
It sounds like I should probably go in that direction.
Algebra. I think it's algebra.
Kind of a natural thing.
Yeah.
I think a free school would be pretty good at certain where the X and the Y.
We're running out of time.
Yeah, for it. I don't know.
Algebra.
I think so.
Algebra is right. Holy cow.
Steve, fill up an all-metal bucket from Cincinnati's Hootipole Shingling Brewing Company, late makers of Little King's Original Cream Ale, It's Good to Be King. Matt, you'll expand your arsenal of knowledge with the names, dates, ideas, and facts that matter in Michael's book, Glad You Asked, Intriguing Names, Facts, and Ideas for the Curious-Minded, from the editors of Encyclopedia Britannica and Triumph Books. And both of you can add zest to any meal with a jar of medium-sweet salsa from Sanchez Specialties. First you taste the sweet, then you feel the heat. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman is our producer international. Adam Friedrich is our producer with assistance from Chris.
See you later. Thanks for coming.
PRI, Public Radio International.